Yeah, well, so we go from one guy who is coming back from injury to another guy in the outfield who is headed towards the injury list, or he's already on there, honestly. Eddie Rosario. This was a strange one, Joe. Because you know what I don't like about what happened with this Eddie Rosario injury? It brought out the conspiracy theorist in me, which doesn't appear very often.
Not just you, honestly, I've heard it from multiple people.
Yeah, it doesn't appear very often. I'm not one to jump into the "we never landed on the moon" or blah blah blah, whatever type of stuff. But Eddie Rosario hitting the injured list for what they're listing as might be 8 to 12 weeks for swelling in his right eye, and he's going to have laser eye correction surgery to fix at least his right eye. I don't know if it was, they didn't really clarify if it's both, but specifically we know it's his right eye.
It's the right eye, yeah.
Yeah. That's having corrective surgery and has been dealing with swelling. When you saw this, first thought in your head, because I'll give you mine in a minute.
I actually thought it made a lot of sense. I was like, okay, this explains why not only has he been so bad at the plate, which, you know, it's been well documented so far, but to me, the one that stands out is that terrible error that he had in San Diego where he was camped under a fly ball and he just missed it. Yeah. And like, you never, ever see that in the major leagues. Not like a guy who's like literally just camped underneath the ball and it just goes off his glove. Almost never, I should say. So that was shocking. And I was wondering why that happened. So when I heard about the eye thing, I was like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense. And by the way, we should say off the top, all of our best wishes to Eddie Rosario in getting this fixed, because a retina issue, they say he's having laser surgery on the retina. That's a very important part of, I mean, it essentially is your eye. It's like functioning, it's like translating what you see into your visual field, into your brain so that you can compute it. So it's a very important part. It's actually almost like kind of the brain. So hope he recovers. But with that said, let's hear the conspiracy theory.
Okay. Well, it was just the fact of, what was he hitting, like 056 or 068, something like that. It was, you know, terrible, terrible, terrible numbers. The Braves gave him, I wouldn't say a large contract.
068.
068. Okay. I was about to say that was in one of my flashes the other day. But so hitting terribly, Braves just gave him a 2-year deal. So he's at least signed through next season. You're hitting this poorly, you start going through the checklist of what could it be. And I think, honestly, one of the first things you go to is your mentals. You know, hey, everything good in your head? You know, you need to go see a sports psychologist. Is something off? Like, do we need to get that checked? Okay. And then, I mean, your body, you start going to, hey, you got any aches and pains? I think we joked at one point of a couple weeks ago, or maybe just a week ago, of seeing Eddie Rosario like hit the injured list for, you know, some like unspecified things so they could bring somebody else up, because it was like it had reached that level, mm-hmm. especially him and Alex Dickerson, as poorly as they were both hitting. But then I think you reach the eyes. And because I think someone asked Dave O'Brien about this on Twitter, you brought this to my attention about, hey, he gets a physical done at the beginning of the season. Like, how do they miss this? And the thought, at least, is, well, they maybe didn't miss it, but maybe this is something that's popped up since he had that physical at the beginning of spring training. I'm just wondering if this is something that's been bugging Eddie Rosario, not the swelling, but the needing corrective vision sort of thing. If this mm-hmm. has been something that's bothered him for a while, and when you just start performing this poorly, you start going down the, could it be? And like, should we just go ahead and it? I mean, it is a long season and you're hitting this poorly. You're not helping the team. Let's go ahead. Let's get you the corrective surgery and see if this is it. You know, that's a bad pun. But honestly, let's let's try and see if this is the issue. Exhausting all of their resources to try to best help Eddie, because he was a big signing and is going to be a part of this team for much longer than this season. That's why I start going into the conspiracy mode a bit of like, is this really the issue, or is this just something they're addressing because every part of his game had gotten so poor?
Is it something he was dealing with, but it's only now getting to the point where it's like really tangibly affecting him on the field? Yeah, I got you. Who knows? I mean, maybe. Because sometimes a lot of these things with eyes, I mean, I'm no doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. they are kind of degenerative, or they just like they get worse and worse over time. So sometimes they're not an acute thing. But to the point, the Dave O'Brien tweet where he was responding to somebody a couple days ago, he seemed to indicate that it was something that happened specifically to him, like after during spring or sometime after, you know, the team had started training together in spring training. So I don't really have a whole lot to add other than that I feel like the Braves will benefit from this move just because of how bad he was. Like, pretty much anybody is going to be better than what he was providing with his 0.068 batting average. And maybe it looks like that guy's going to be Travis DeMeritt, who had a great night last night.
I was just about to say, you know, I said a week ago, and I still stand by my point, even though I realize the reality is Michael Harris is still too young. He's still too fresh into his career to really be given a shot. I still think he'd perform really well if given the shot, and I still think the Braves should do it, but that's because that's the move that I would make. That's not the move that I think that this Braves team will make. They're going to be more cautious. Bringing up Travis DeMeritt, perfect opportunity of a guy. It's funny how it worked where DeMeritt actually gets brought up because of Austin Riley having a kid, and they needed DeMeritt to be there to cover third. And then, boom, oh, hey, how convenient, you know, we need you to go play another position you're pretty comfortable with out in right field. And he's done pretty decent job so far.
Yeah.
And, I haven't seen every fielding play that he's had, but I haven't heard anybody complain about the fielding issues.
Yeah, no, he had a great night last night. He had a sliding catch in foul territory, which was kind of like the defensive highlight for the Braves in the game. And then, of course, it's the home run to the Chop House, which was great. And he had a really cool moment with a fan where he like high-fived her when he came around the bases. It was really cool. And it was also cool, Caleb, last night to talk to some of the guys in the clubhouse. We talked to Max Fried, and he played with Travis DeMeritt in Mississippi, because DeMeritt's been a guy who's been a little bit all over the place. He came up, well, he was drafted by the Rangers. The Braves ended up picking him up, and he spent most of his time with the Braves in the minors, but then the Braves flipped him to Detroit for Shane Green when they picked up Shane Green in the, you know, the reliever in the 2019 season. Then he came up, had a cup of coffee with the Tigers, but has still struggled. Tigers obviously let him go, and Braves reclaimed him. So it's been kind of cool to hear from Max and just kind of him reminisce about like the player that DeMeritt was when they were together in AA, and just kind of cool. For it felt like everything was kind of coming full circle, and he's from here too, so he kind of grew up a Braves fan, and just a really kind of cool moment for him, and hopefully it can be something that kind of gives him a bit of a launching pad for him to stay up for a while, because I think he will be. I mean, as much as we wanted like one of these bright young prospects, because we can't wait to see these guys always, it seems like it's going to be Travis DeMeritt who's earning his spot to stay up here for a while. So good for him.
Yeah, well, it's funny too. The Braves are really going all in on the hometown kids. Like, they're just, you know, are you from the state of Georgia? Cool, we want you. You know, that's what it's kind of felt like. And I felt like the Harris, like bringing up Michael Harris is one of those. They've been willing to, as I said a couple weeks ago, like take the tags off of some of these minor league players, and maybe pull guys before they're truly ready. Bringing up Spencer Strider, bringing up Bryce Elder, these are guys who, in all reality, aren't ready yet, but they're showing that they can perform on the highest level, which is why I'm like, okay. I mean, so Michael Harris can too, at least I think so. But given all of that, not having to take the tags off of Michael Harris and saving and getting another year of control, because, you know, baseball general managers love that, and getting this out of Travis DeMeritt still coincides with my overall theory that I think the biggest thing the Braves will do this year is get more out of their own guys than just making some, like, big splashy trades of bringing in other guys like they did last year. I think it just seems like this is more of a season of find out what you have from your own. Even a guy like Travis DeMeritt, who was playing down in Gwinnett and who really didn't have a role. But like you said, I mean, anything was better than what you were getting out of Eddie Rosario and Alex Dickerson. And it seems like in his small sample size that he's showing that.
Yeah, I kind of joked after the Eddie Rosario news broke that's like, well, at least Alex Anthopoulos has experience in, you know, shopping for an outfield. But in this case, I think that, you know, he doesn't necessarily need to go out and buy from outside the market. Like, I think that he's got some solutions, maybe, you know, internal. And one that hasn't really been discussed, which at least that I've seen, I mean, I'm sure everybody's always talking about him a little bit, but Drew Waters, it seems like, you know, and I know that he's banged up. I think he's dealing with a hamstring right now, so he's not totally healthy. But, you know, this seems like the perfect time for him to come up to this team. It's like he's not blocked, you know, but it just seems like the performance isn't there. You know, it's like weird how he's kind of been this almost mythical creature within the Braves farm system, always held up as like this, you know, the next, I've heard him compared to like Chipper Jones and stuff like that. But the strikeout rate has always been high in the minors. I think that that's something that concerns the Braves. And it's just interesting to me that he's not the name that a lot of people, not just you, Caleb, but I see a lot of fans who have Michael Harris has essentially vaulted Drew Waters in terms of like who people want to see more.
And I was actually having this discussion with somebody a couple of days ago after they saw me talk about, hey, I think the Braves should bring up Michael Harris. And someone said to me, well, I mean, if the Braves aren't going to bring up Drew Waters, they need to just trade him. And my response was, for what? I mean, honestly, like that is the tough position that they are in with Drew Waters. And I think the reason why they're going to keep him right where he's at, first off, not healthy, so you're not going to trade an injured player, but also just kind of not entirely sure what you're going to get out of him yet. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I mean, he's a guy that he's now a guy you would have to package with other players if you were to make any sort of trade. Like, he's not the main part of any sort of deal. Because look how well Christian Pache is performing for Oakland, but they packaged Pache and Shane Langeliers in that deal to go get Matt Olson and to pay his contract. You know, it's just not that simple of, hey, well, we're not using Drew Waters, so we need to just trade him and go get something good for him. Like, it doesn't quite always work that easy.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with the Braves outfield, but they certainly kind of need help right now, and at least they're going to get it soon with Acuña, but we'll see if they need more.